On a cold winter's day in 1971, Larry Stewart decided that he'd finally just about had enough. He'd been fired from his job, evicted from his apartment. He was living out of his car, freezing in the cold, and he hadn't eaten in 2 days. So he decided that he was going to walk into a greasy diner, get the biggest breakfast on the menu, even though he didn't have any money, not even a penny to pay the bill. The way he figured it was that if he could just run fast enough, he could probably get away with it, get out the door. And so he went into the diner, rifled down that breakfast, right down to the last cup of coffee. He knew it was wrong. He knew it was criminal. But you know, when you're cold enough, tired enough, hungry enough, your moral standards have a way of bending just a little bit. And just as he was about to bolt for the door, suddenly a man stood up, walked up to him, stood right in his path, pointed down to the floor, turned to Larry and said, "Son, I think he dropped this." Held out in his hand a $20 bill. Larry looked at the floor, looked at the $20 bill. He said to himself, "I couldn't have dropped anything. I don't have anything to drop." But looking at the man in the face, he realized the man could tell that he was struggling and that he just wanted to help, very subtly. So he pretended that he dropped the $20 bill on the floor, very small price to pay, to save his dignity. Larry paid for his meal, left a generous tip, walked out of the restaurant with change in his pocket and hope in his heart, and promised himself that if he ever made anything out of his life, that he was going to find somebody in need, and he was going to lend a helping hand. It's a true story. You can look it up. Larry Stewart made a fortune in the cable television industry. Never forgot the lesson he learned that day. And true to his word, on Christmas Eve, 1979, he went to the bank, withdrew some cash, and went out to find somebody in need, somebody to whom he could lend a helping hand. He walked into a greasy diner where he found a poor, ragged waitress working the night shift alone. Larry ordered a cup of coffee, paid for it with a $100 bill. "Keep the change," he said to the waitress with a confident smile and a twinkle in his eye. He said the expression on her face was so priceless, it was more valuable to him than all the business success that he'd ever experienced. So you know what he did? He did it again. And he did it again. And he did it again. To the point where it became an annual tradition. He developed knack, an instinct, spotting people in genuine need. He looked for thin coats in cold weather, disheveled single mothers poking through pocket change in the checkout line of the grocery store. He looked for people that looked like they'd lost their hope, they'd lost their confidence, people that were overwhelmed by sadness and despair, the very kind of people everybody else tries to avoid. And when he saw them, he walked up to him, put a crisp $100 bill into their hand, whispered, "Merry Christmas to you," and dashed off while the shock was still fresh. He'd go into thrift stores and find people who couldn't afford to pay for a secondhand coat or a pair of boots. He went into coin-op laundromats and found families that were washing their only set of clothes, and he helped them right there on the spot. No lights, no cameras, no receipts, no thank you notes, no attention. He didn't want it. He became a legend. Over more than two decades, he gave away a fortune, and nobody ever even knew his name. He was just known as the Secret Santa of Kansas City. The newspapers caught on to him. They wanted a story. He wouldn't cooperate. He didn't want the attention. That was the whole point. Until one cold December morning in 2006, everything changed. He'd gone to the doctors that day. They diagnosed him with an inoperable tumor, aggressive growth. They gave him weeks to live. And so Larry Stewart finally opened up to the press, told him the whole story, told him about the diner, told him about the $20 bill, told him about all the people down through the years who he'd helped one by one. It was never about the money, he said. I just wanted people to realize that they were not invisible, that somebody saw, somebody knew, somebody cared. Larry Stewart died in January of 2007. The USA Today estimates that he gave away more than $1.3 million in cash directly to the hands of the most needy people in his area. It was never about the money, he said. I just wanted people to know they weren't invisible, that somebody saw, somebody knew, somebody cared. The message of Christmas is that God sees and knows and cares so much so that he became one of us. Do you realize that's what we celebrate this day? Do you know what we believe about Jesus? He wasn't just a prophet. He wasn't just a great guy. He wasn't just a moral leader. We believe that he's God from God, light from light, true God from true God. The author of all creation enters into his own story as a character. It's an astonishing belief. Sets us apart from every other religion in the world. Are you aware of that? Muslims don't think Muhammad is God, and Buddhists don't think that Buddha is God, and even the Jewish people don't expect that when the Messiah comes, that he's going to become God come down to earth. Astonishing belief, so much so that we need to revisit it every year because we take it for granted what God has done for us. You see, people believe, for some reason, that just because God is mysterious, that means that he's distant from us. The story of Christmas tells us otherwise. God's mysterious, all right. So mysterious that he did the last thing anyone would ever imagine God would do. God Almighty would become one of us and be born into this world, not just born into this world, but born into the lowest and most humble circumstances imaginable. Picture the first ever Christmas. Christ our Lord was not born in a cathedral between a pair of candlesticks. He wasn't even born in a modern hospital with proper sanitation. He was born in straw poverty amid barnyard animals for the simple reason that nobody would want to have him, that he was not welcome. Picture a manger. You know what a manger is? It's a feed box for a cow. A rickety box out of which donkeys slop up their lunch. Picture the inside of a manger. Picture the drool that's come out of an ox or a horse. Now picture the Son of God, whom angels adore, to whom everyone in heaven, on the earth, and under the earth will bend the knee and realize that was his point of entry on the darkest night of the year. And while you're thinking about that, think about this. He's not there by chance. He's there by choice. When God acts, he acts in an absolutely sovereign manner. God could have come into this world any way he wanted. He could have come riding down the side of Mount Olympus throwing thunderbolts if he wanted to. But from the very beginning, he chose to identify us not when things were at their best, but most especially when things were at their worst, the lowest,
the poorest, very ones that the wealthy and the powerful and the well-connected of this world despise the most. People like shepherds in the fields, or sinners in the Jordan River. Simple people living in the hill country. Prostitutes and tax collectors, or a pair of thieves on Good Friday. His message, that he has come to redeem what was lost. He's come to the lowest place to bring it back to the good plan God had from the beginning. You know, Christmas is the only Mass of the year whose primary celebration is in the middle of the night. Why is that? Symbolic of a God who comes to the darkest place to bring his light, to the coldest place to bring his warmth, to the lowest place to lift us up on high. God sees, God knows, God cares so much to do that. And that, you've heard it said that God loves you just the way you are. It's true, but he loves you too much to leave you that way. He asks that you follow him, that you allow him, cooperate with him, to let you lift you up on high. He asks for one thing and one thing only, for the love of the creatures into whose world he was born. Will you love him in return? One night, there went out over the stillness of the evening breeze, out over the chalky hills of Bethlehem, the cry of a newborn baby. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Earth did not hear the cry, for the earth was asleep. Men did not hear the cry, for they did not know that a child could be greater than a man. Kings did not hear the cry, for they did not realize that a king could be born in a stable. Empires did not hear the cry, for empires did not know that an infant could steer the world in its course. Only shepherds and wise men heard the cry. Only the very simple and the very learned knew the mystery of God's ways and responded. Will you respond? Will you? It's why we cry out, glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace to those on whom his favor rests. For born for us this day in the city of David, a Savior, Christ and Lord. Amen.